Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and my next guest is known for his outsized, outspoken personality and his comedic brand of magic. However, that outsized personality no longer belongs to an outsized body, since he recently made two-thirds of his body weight, poof, disappear. He's also a zealous free market libertarian who, despite his professed personal respect for Donald Trump's chutzpah, has lately expressed serious fear about the possibility of a Trump presidency. So with me is Penn Jillette, half of Penn and Teller, host of the podcast Penn Sunday School, co-host of the CW show Penn and Teller Fool Us, and author of the brand new book, Presto, How I Made Over 100 Pounds Disappear and Other Magical Tales. Welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. Actually, I made a third of my body weight disappear, not two-thirds.
Ah, one-third.
I lost your weight, not two of you.
That makes much more sense.
Yeah.
Let me start with the Trump stuff.
Sure.
In the book, you mentioned that you were on Celebrity Apprentice, and Trump brought you back for another season on All-Star Celebrity Apprentice.
Two tours of duty.
Allegedly because you described his hair as cotton candy made of pee. And I cleaned that up by a little bit for the FCC.
I didn't say it was that. I said it looked like that.
Looked like. Tell me about the relationship between you two.
You know, the show pretends, of course, that we're trying to get a job from him, which, of course, we're not. We're co-workers on an improvisational show. He doesn't have a job to offer me, and I also already had a job. He might have had a job to offer me in the 90s, but the casinos that he owned, he took into bankruptcy. And I have a company that's going very well, and I didn't really need a job. So we're doing this improvisational thing. But I spent a lot of time with him. And, you know, there's something kind of wonderful about someone who is volatile and capricious and completely unpredictable. Without a filter. That's really nice for a improvisational kind of show. As a matter of fact, whether you're doing comedy or drama, you want someone in the room that no one can predict. That show would be completely unsuccessful if you had Bill Gates, because he would always make the smart move. You'd know his thinking. You could understand it and learn from it. So the reason slot machines are so successful is it's intermittent reinforcement. You don't want constant reinforcement. And Trump gave that. And I believe, of course I can't prove this, that I liked Trump more than anyone else who's ever done the show. I actually, in that environment, really kind of enjoyed him. When he started, he came backstage before the final show and asked me if I would support him for president. And I said, absolutely not. And that got him also rather angry. There's a lot of people that I can work with that I wouldn't necessarily want to be president. I mean, I'm sitting here with you. I'm enjoying your company. That doesn't necessarily mean I automatically support you if you ran for president.
I am completely unqualified to be president of the United States.
But so. You know it. That's the difference.
And you said in an interview with Newsweek of Trump's success thus far, quote, I'm feeling so guilty because I feel like I, along with millions of other people, I played right into this. The cynicism of the Clintons, the careful tightrope walk of all politicians forced me as an atheist to get down on my knees and pray that someone would come along with some kind of authenticity.
Yeah. You know, there's a line in Apocalypse Now where he says everyone gets what he wants. I prayed for a mission and for my sins that gave me one. On paper, Trump is a lot of what I wanted, you know? And a lot of people, their attitude is things have gotten so plastic and so cynical and so careful that someone who just screams wildly is a really wonderful thing. And I have this fear, you know, that if I didn't know him personally, I might be sucked into that. I have a great deal of sympathy for those who support Trump because that feeling of, come on, just speak your mind, you know? And also that feeling of, you know, Johnny Rotten in the Sex Pistols. The more people hated him, the more we loved him, you know? And there's this sense of when you throw these very careful people into a rage, there's something kind of beautiful about that. There's something kind of wonderful in anarchy about that. But it has the fact that he wants to be a despot and he's completely narcissistic takes all the joy away from that. But I've got to tell you that my heart emotionally goes with the supporters. It's just my head says we can't do this to our country.
To make the most political possible transition to the food portion of your book, you have a section that's entitled Eating Pizza is Like Voting for Hillary.
Yeah, well, you know, what I felt like was I don't listen to the music that the mainstream wants me to listen to. I don't watch the TV shows they want me. I don't read the books they want me to read. And I've always felt like I could find my own way. And all of a sudden it hit me, to use Apocalypse again, like a diamond bullet, that that I was eating exactly the way everybody else was. I was eating like every single American. And there's a line by Bob Dylan, to live outside the law, you must be honest. And all of a sudden that was ringing in my head. And I'm not really good at moderation. As a matter of fact, I don't respect moderation at all. So I used to eat like an idiot. I had a diet like an idiot. So I love the fact that the diet that I went on was difficult. What I realized was all the diets I tried to be on that said, you can eat pretty much just the way you are. Just cut back on the portions a little bit and try to do this a little bit and don't eat after six. Was just like, I don't want it to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even want my reading to be easy.
So what kind of diet did you go on?
Well, when I first started, my friend Ray Cronise, who is a NASA scientist and was looking into this stuff a lot, said the most important thing psychologically is to knock you out of your head. Get out of your habits. Get out of the way you're used to tasting food. So I needed to do 2 weeks of what's called a mono diet. And anything you can eat, I mean, not anything, but anything very healthy like beans or broccoli or anything like that. But one thing, plain, no spices, nothing added, nothing subtracted for 2 weeks. And I chose potatoes because it's a funnier word.
Potatoes?
For 2 weeks.
The all-carb diet?
Well, you know, carb doesn't really mean very much. It's a starch. And surprisingly enough, there's a lot of protein in it, more complete proteins than there are in meat. And it's not a healthy diet, not for your life, but for 2 weeks, you can eat almost anything.
So that
2 weeks,
like
you
can
eat fudge.
Like a detox diet.
Well, yeah. You know, those words are overused now. But at the end of it, I had my first piece of corn. Plain corn, and I got to tell you, it was like candy. It completely blew my mind because, and I hate, I will not use the word addiction, but your habits develop, you get desensitized.
Yes.
To salt, sugar, and fat, and you take that away for a little while, and all of a sudden you taste food. It's a difference between like 3-chord slamming rock and roll and putting on some miles. You know, there's other sounds you can hear besides just 3-chord rock and roll.
And so what came after the corn?
Oh, then it went to basically the diet I have now, although for the 3 months that I lost 80 pounds, I didn't do fruits and nuts, which are high calorie. But pretty much no animal products, although I don't like to say vegan because Oreos are vegan. But no animal products, no refined grains, and extremely low salt, sugar, and fat. But every 2 weeks, my children will say, you know, I want to have some pizza and ice cream. Sure. You don't get fat on one meal. It's the chronic stuff that matters. I also learned, and this is mind-blowing to me. Now, you're a thin guy. You know this. But you can also not eat. If you go out to a restaurant with your buddies and there's nothing on the menu mm-hmm. that really seems to fit your diet, you can just get some water.
You
and
can
some,
have a very large tea and nurse it.
Yeah. But when the conversation starts and gets rolling, you'll forget you're not eating. As a matter of fact, you might be faster and funnier because you're not stuffing your face.
It's hard, though. And sometimes I think we'd be better off if we found more places other than restaurants to hold our social gatherings because it's so common to do it over food.
It's really amazing. Since I've done this, my social life has changed very much. I sometimes sit down in my home with people and sit across and talk to them. And it's amazing how, without the noise and the distraction, of course, you know, there's no way we're going to be pushed into that because you can't make money off it. And that's not any sort of indictment against our society. It's just, who's going to advertise, go home and talk to your friends?
Right. Penn Jillette is with us. His new book is called Presto, How I Made Over 100 Pounds Disappear and Other Magical Tales. And we can take a few phone calls
sure.
for him on food, on magic, on politics, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. In your book, you distinguish between a juggler and a magician,
mm-hmm.
and you call yourself A juggler.
Yeah, I started out as a juggler. And that's one of the things I realized going on this diet is I like to do things the hard way. I really do. No one brags about going up a grassy incline. They brag about climbing Everest. And juggling is the pure form of just practice. You throw things in the air. If you catch them, you practice enough. If you drop them, you look like you're chasing a duck and you're humiliated. With magic, you're always trying to find a cheat to do something impossible the easiest way possible. And with juggling, you're doing it the hardest way possible. And in magic, when I started out in magic, all I cared about was what's called the finger flinging, the stuff you have to practice a zillion times. Mm-hmm. The intellectual process of magic and how we think, the important part of magic, the stuff that Teller is the best at in the world, is the stuff that I had to slide into. It's not my natural inclination. My natural inclination is always brute force. I want to play bebop jazz. I practice bass until my fingers bleed. That's a cause and effect for me.
And as part of the practice, seeing how much you can do on stage while you're juggling, my sister-in-law, Judith Sloan, is a performer, and she does a one-woman show that includes juggling. She juggles. But it's also this kind of comedy and social commentary, you know, serious and funny and dense and light, all of this stuff that she's going back and forth on content-wise, and in a particular scene, now and again, she'll be juggling at the same time.
I think that you you want things to be much more complex in art and performance than you first think. You know, when you first start out, you may want to be wicked funny, or you may want to really break hearts and make people cry. But as you get more sophisticated, this stuff gets more complicated. And also, one of the things that's wonderful about live performance, a friend of mine said that if you watched the movie Groundhog Day and that seemed like a great thing, you should be a variety arts performer, because I get a chance to get better at stuff. So I really can do five things at the same time during our show because I've done it 10,000 times.
Gary in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Penn Jillette. Hi, Gary.
Hey, first off, I want to say I'm a huge fan of Penn. I'm very glad to be on the show. I wanted to ask, I have a vegan diet that I do for Lent every year, and it lasts for about 50 days. For that period of time, I lose between 15 and 20 pounds, and I'm a big guy. I was wondering if I try to extend that for more often times in, throughout the year, would that affect my weight, whether it be gaining or losing faster? Or
you realize that our guest is neither a doctor nor a nutritionist.
Well, what I wanted to say was, I want to say this very clearly. I should have said this earlier. If you take medical advice from a Las Vegas magician, you're an idiot and deserve to die. That having been said, you can't do any major weight loss without a doctor breathing down your neck. I was on a lot of blood pressure meds, and I had a doctor that was sending my blood pressure to him absolutely every day and my weight every day. And I went in to see him several times during this. And no matter how much it, I kind of shrug it off and say it's simple and it's a silly little book. If someone's going to seriously do that, they need to dig in. I don't say that for legal reasons. I say that for moral reasons. It's just simply true.
And you do say right in the book, I saw it, that this is not a how-to book.
No, as you'll notice, I use first-person singular more than Donald Trump. The book is not written second person. It does not say, here's what you do, here's what you do. It's here's what I did. So I hope my book can give you some inspiration, but you're going to have to get a professional on board.
Did your blood pressure come way down?
I was on highest doses of six different meds. Now I'm on the lowest dose of two different, and that's only because I wanted to get way low. My blood pressure was coming down so fast that the blood pressure medication that were keeping me alive ended up being the biggest danger as I lost our life.
Howard in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Penn Jillette. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Penn. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
Good. I wanted to know what you thought about people revealing tricks on YouTube and if that takes away from the magic and intrigue.
Well, you know, I don't think so. A great magician named Jim Steinmeier, who's a magic builder, said the magicians were guarding a box that was empty. There are no deep secrets in magic. It's just the amount of work you put in. And when we do our show Fool Us on the CW, when we tell people that they have not fooled us, that we have an idea, I always try to give a code. I always try to picture myself at 15 years old alone watching this. And I always give enough words that keyword searches will pull up those videos. Because we live in a society now where you can choose the information you get. So almost any magic trick you see, if you want to perform it, if you listen to a song on the radio and want to learn to play it, you can get a guitar or a keyboard or computer and learn to play that. If you see a magic trick, you can learn to do it. But you can also step back and enjoy it. I think both of those things live together, and that's not a decision I should make for the public. It's a decision the public should make for themselves.
But sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, right? Like
right,
you
sure.
would tell her do the cup and ball trick with transparent
yeah,
cups.
And give it away, absolutely.
Right.
But that's because the secret is beautiful. When the secret is beautiful, we give it away. When the secret is ugly, we keep it to ourselves.
So let me cycle all the way back around to politics to close it out. You endorsed Gary Johnson in 2012. Nobody heard of Gary Johnson in 2012. Today, everybody's hearing of Gary Johnson.
I don't feel your burn, but feel my Johnson. That's what I say.
do we have to edit that out? No, I guess not. But
Johnson's
What about this year? Are you too afraid it would help elect Trump?
I do have that fear, and I am a little bit afraid of it. But I really think that you have to. We have a grown-up. We have an honest grown-up who is governor of New Mexico for 2 terms and very successful in a Democratic state, reelected, ran the state wonderfully. I love Gary Johnson. He is, like me, as further left than you can possibly imagine socially and very right fiscally, which is what a lot of America is. You know, it's the way we live our lives. You know, we try to be careful with how we spend our money, and yet we certainly don't care what the person next door does in their bedroom. And the Libertarian Party, which is sometimes talked about as nuts, seems to be dead in the middle of the U.S., at least the people I know. So, yes, if it got down close, I would have to pick Hillary over Donald. But unless it's close, I got to go with Gary because he's right. And the people that say, by voting for Gary, you're helping Trump, I say, well, for voting for Clinton, you're helping Trump. Everybody should vote for Gary Johnson.
What state do you vote in?
I vote in Nevada. So I'm actually a swing state.
You are?
Yeah, so it might be important.
All right. Folks, if you want to see Penn Jillette in person and maybe challenge him on that last statement that libertarianism is down the middle, but that's another show. Tonight at 7:30 at the Barnes & Noble on East 86th Street between Lexington and 3rd, tonight at 7:30. And tomorrow night at 7:30, excuse me, at the Words Bookstore on Maplewood Avenue in Maplewood.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been
a
real pleasure. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Well, we've got some breaking news, it appears. It looks like Bill Bratton may be resigning today, and we're going to tell you what we know coming up after this.